One of the longest, most successful careers in the world of music. It's not really a joke. You'll hear it in a moment. It's not Michael Jackson. It's Weird Al Yankovic. Eat It, the early hit for Weird Al, the parody of Beat It, and many, many more hits and songs through the years. Essentially a 40-year career doing parody songs and originals and pastiches. Weird Al, very talented. And he turns 60 years old today. Weird Al Yankovic turns 60 years old. Happy birthday, Al. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. And we're joined on the phone lines now by Phil Kirpin. He is the president of American Commitment. You can find him on Twitter at Kirpin. AmericanCommitment.org is also the website. Phil, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Hey, Scott, my pleasure.
Able to stay up late, tune in for the World Series Game 1 end last night?
Yeah, I watched the end. You know, they stranded a lot of runners. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Nationals take the home field advantage. Phil and I are, of course, you know, somewhat sad. His Mets, my White Sox, and our listeners, Tigers, nowhere near the World Series this year. So we just watch and enjoy what we have going.
You know, as a Mets fan, though, I'm also a Nationals hater, and so I have the hatred-rooting interest.
Yes. It gives you a little more juice for the series, I suppose. Phil, talking this morning about the capital gains inflation tax. President had talked to Larry Kudlow, of course, his advisor, has been a big advocate of doing away with it. First, tell people what we're discussing here. What's the capital gains inflation tax?
Well, unlike the regular income tax, which has been indexed for inflation since the early 1980s, the capital gains tax is not indexed for inflation. Well, what that means is if you sell an asset, let's say you have a rental house or, you know, any asset, a stock, whatever it might be, when you go to sell it, you have to figure the tax that you pay by taking your original acquisition cost and subtracting that from what you sell it for.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government will tax you on that difference. But the original acquisition cost is not really what it cost you, because especially if you've held an asset for many years, a lot of the change in price is not due to real economic gain, but rather due to inflation. And so under the current application of the law, you can have a situation where, let's say, you held an asset for, you know, decades, and it actually lost value in real terms. It did not keep up with inflation.
Mm-hmm.
You would still have a big tax bill when you sell it. And so this idea of inflation indexing, which you're correct, Larry Kudlow has long been an advocate of, this idea is that we would define what a gain is for capital gains purposes as the real gain, as the gain after adjusting for inflation. So we would not tax you on the phantom inflationary increase in value of an asset, but rather only on the real gain. And I think that that makes all the sense in the world from a fairness standpoint. It makes all the sense in the world from an economic growth standpoint, because you've got a lot of assets that are basically locked up mm-hmm. by the current tax code. You know, people are not going to sell them because they don't want to pay a big tax bill on something that hasn't really gained value or has gained little value over a long period of time. And, you know, on the corporate side as well, you've got, you know, you've got a lot of urban real estate in particular that's been held for many, many, many decades, and to sell it would be this massive tax bill, even if, you know, in a place like Detroit, almost all of the increase in land values is inflationary because it hasn't gone up in real terms. and yet you face a big tax bill if you sell. And so this idea, which the president has said he's not doing, he said it's not happening, quote, for now. So I'm hanging a lot of hope on the two words for now, that he might circle back to it and actually do it. But the idea would be to do an executive order that directs the IRS to change the way capital gains are calculated to tax only real gains and not inflation.
I'll come back to that executive order in a minute, but one of the reasons you said the president said, you know, not for now, but it seems like through his comments he's likely in favor of the idea. He's a little afraid of the PR hit that it might be perceived as being a something a giveaway to the rich, and is not sure about that and how it might be perceived. It's more of a perception issue than a policy issue.
Yeah, I think that's right. He was very close, I think, to doing it, and of course the left did what they do. So they had the New York Times articles and all the other Bloomberg News and all the other. Liberal outlets ran their headlines, Trump may, outrageously cut taxes for the very rich and all this kind of stuff, which they always do. And it seemed to affect him in this case, at least enough that he sort of tested the message. He went out and he said, I don't think we're going to do that. It's mostly for the rich. And then a couple days later, he said, actually, I think it's a great idea. Maybe I should do it. And I think he was kind of trying to gauge the reaction from both sides and from his base and kind of, like when he goes at his rallies and he sort of tests lines and sees what the response is, I think he was kind of doing that on this issue, trying to figure out if that attack from the left had resonance or not. And, I think he didn't get quite the positive response on maybe I should do it that he was looking for, whatever the reason might be. He sort of shelved it, quote, for now. Mm-hmm. Although, the other aspect of this is the lawyers at the Treasury Department don't think he has the authority to do it. And, he said publicly he does think he has the authority. I think the legal arguments are very strong that he does because there was a Supreme Court case in 2002, Verizon versus FCC, where the Supreme Court said that the FCC could define the word cost to include an inflation component. I think if the FCC can do that, the IRS should certainly be able to as well in a different context. So I think there's a pretty strong legal argument that he is able to do it, but the Treasury lawyers said no, and so I think they made a case that, you don't have the legal power to do this, you're going to get overturned in court, and so I think that was kind of the other factor that convinced him not to do it. But again, he said we're not going to do it, quote, for now. So, look, this is literally, Scott, the only tax cut that anyone has conceived of that could even possibly be done without Nancy Pelosi's help, without mm-hmm. legislation. And I think at some point he's going to circle back to it for that reason, because he's going to want to juice the economy, he's going to want to juice the stock market, he's going to want to deliver, another tax cut for the American people. This one is very easy to defend on the merits. And the fact that it probably doesn't require Congress makes it unique. It's the only tax cut he can actually do, between now and the next election. And so I think for that reason, there's still a pretty decent chance this happens, even though it is, in fact, kind of on the shelf at the moment.
And Phil, as you point out in the piece, which people can find at AmericanCommitment.org, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Maxine Waters, Bernie Sanders, all voted in favor of doing this back in 1992. So, I mean, that's not that long ago.
That was before President Trump was for it. So now it's the worst idea in history, and it's for the rich, and it's terrible and everything. But yes, I mean, as in so many things, like yesterday's mini controversy about the word lynching, and then we saw, every Democrat ever said that during the Clinton impeachment. They don't have a strong, they don't have a strong need for consistency. But yes, I mean, there is certainly, you could imagine President Trump having a lot of fun with the fact that all the Democrats who would go crazy used
previously voted for it. Yeah, Phil Kirpin, thanks for joining us here on the Steve.
Elected officials in Michigan broke their promise for a transparent, balanced process when it came to reforming auto insurance. They passed a bill in the middle of the night which had no public hearings and no fiscal analysis. Worse yet, it created many new problems while failing to address the real issues. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close. And there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Attention songwriters, beginner or pro. NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter meetings are held every second Saturday of the month from 1 to 4 p.m. at the MSU Community Music School. You can learn more about the NSAI by visiting www.nashvillesongwriters.com or visit the NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter Facebook page to contact the chapter coordinator online.